Good morning, everyone, and welcome to More Than Milestones. I'm your host, Dr. Wendy McKenna, and I'm here today with my friend and colleague, Sue Hitzman, and we are going to take you from bump to birth and beyond to help you boot your worry, be confident, and have a blast raising your happy baby. So, Sue, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we're just going to dive right in because we have about 30 minutes. So can you kind of tell your story about who you are and what you're doing in this amazing space for these awesome mamas?
Sure. I've been in the fitness industry for too long to even count the years, I guess, like going on probably almost 30 years in the fitness industry. I'm a manual therapist and a body worker. I have a private practice in New York, and what kind of got me into all of this was actually in my late 20s, my own pain in my body. Mm-hmm. After I thought I had I had so much information on anatomy and physiology, but when I had chronic pain, nothing was really helping me. Mm-hmm. And as I searched for a solution, I stumbled upon this emerging field of fascial and neurofascial science and research, and started to really make the link that there was a connection between the nervous system and the connective tissue. Kind of founded some hypotheses on that, experimented on clients and myself, and my clients were just getting better faster. I knew I had something. And one of my clients said, well, if you could just invent a way for me to do to myself what you do with your magic hands, I'd stay out of your office altogether. And so I thought, that does sound intriguing. I wonder if that's possible. And so a number of years with that and tinkering around with softballs and rollers, mm-hmm. Emerged this method I call MELT. And it's basically just a simple self-treatment technique to help people get out and stay out of chronic pain. I started teaching it in group environments. And one of the programs that I actually taught was MELT for pregnancy, because women do, I think, have issues with getting pregnant, being pregnant, postpartum, that we don't necessarily address through self-care. And I think that if you can empower men and women to just, make themselves feel better, I think that, you're contributing to their overall well-being. And so I started bringing MELT into a group environment in 2004. And today we've got 1,500 instructors in 28 countries. The book's been translated into 9 languages. And we are just out there pioneering to educate people that self-care is the best care, and living an active, healthy, pain-free life can be done without all the medication and the surgeries and the medical route.
Yay. Thank you for being that pioneer. That's so awesome. Because I think so often that, the medical world, they want us to be dependent on them. And yeah. And so it's just so incredible to come across people who are just giving out that information of like, no, you have it within you, and we have the tools to help you, and just take the bull by the horns and go for it. And
that's right.
I love what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we are going to focus on the pregnancy, birth, and postpartum part. And so I think the first place we need to start is just kind of talking about the changes that our bodies go through.
Yes, hormonally, physiologically, structurally. I mean, it is a tremendous, phenomenal, kind of a miracle type of process that women have the opportunity to go through, and embracing that and working with that and understanding all of the chemical and cellular changes that are occurring, and how to help your body transition through those stages that are occurring, so that your mood can stay level, your hormone balance. And there are so many things that I think people don't think about before they get pregnant, so that during pregnancy they can actually enjoy it more and really embrace the process and the beauty of what's occurring to be able to have a healthy baby through the full term.
Awesome. So do you find with mamas that you are with them before they get pregnant, or do people come to you for help during pregnancy, or kind of all of the above?
all of the above. You know, I mean, I've worked with so many women, just being in New York City, and because I had started those programs, you know, I live on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, which is like the haven for new mamas. And I, you know, I mean, I had a lot of women who were having trouble getting pregnant, and oftentimes that's a stress level. There's a lot of demand that they put on themselves, which can actually inhibit the body's natural process to become pregnant. But then I also deal with women who have pain during their pregnancy because of the adaptation in their connective tissue and their nervous system. And then of course, add to that the hormonal changes and the neurotransmission changes that are occurring, that their body's own, you know, ability to stay balanced is disrupted. So I would be kind of the intervention, the disruption in their disruption, if you will,
right,
to get them back on track so that, again, they can enjoy the pregnancy more and not do it with all of the pain that I think oftentimes women go through, and the exhaustion, the fatigue, things like that.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people think about when they are in pain that it's a muscle thing or a joint thing or a disc thing or a nerve thing. And so can you dive a little bit deeper about what really is connective tissue and fascia, and kind of explain to us a little bit more why we should have that on our radar mostly.
Well, yeah, so connective tissue is actually kind of like flexible scaffolding. It's where all the collagen is in our body. And so it literally is like flexible scaffolding under the skin that is designed to move and adapt through tension and compression forces. It's supposed to manage our posture and our alignment on a very macro level. But on a micro level, it's actually the system that supports, protects, and stabilizes every cell, nerve, and blood vessel in our body. So when you become pregnant, you know, you are creating tension and compression changes from the inside out.
Right.
And that's pretty impactful to tissue. And what we know, especially through pregnancy, that's happening is that fascia, if you kind of think about it, this is actually a good analogy. I just happen to have one right here, is a sponge that's dried out, right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
So sponge, when it's moist, you know, is supposed to be flexible. But as you become pregnant, fascia is constantly under tension as the belly is getting bigger, and that causes cellular dehydration. So then when a mama moves around, you know, the flexibility kind of decreases, and now you've got this stiff sponge that's leaving your body really unstable, because again, fascia is there to support the bone structure and the cellular structure. So as the belly is getting bigger, it would be wonderful if our pelvic bones spread out exactly perfectly.
Right.
And as most moms know, babies like to sit on one side of the pelvis.
Yep. And
so oftentimes one ilia kind of comes out and the other doesn't. And now you get sacroiliac trouble, which is SI joint, the sacroiliac joint, where the keystone of the pelvis gets very disrupted. The bladder changes its position. That can cause a lot of pelvic floor issues and pelvic pain, incontinence, etc. So fascia is actually that supportive, resilient tissue that ideally, you know, has that elastic property, that ability to move and adapt and then go back to its original shape. Mm-hmm. Through pregnancy, though, for 9 months, that tissue is moving and adapting, but it's not going back to its original shape.
Right.
So then after pregnancy, it might not ever go back to its original
shape. It may not actually get back.
So what we know now, though, is that because we know that the fascia is so challenged during pregnancy, that actually if you actively partake and you become proactive rather than reactive, like you don't wait until postpartum to do something about the connective tissue, you can actually enhance the global supportive qualities of the whole connective tissue system from head to toe, so that when the baby finally is out in the world and your belly starts to go back to its normal shape, your whole fascial system is in better tone. And that really helps the supportive quality of the abdomen go back to its original shape. It reduces the chances of getting a diastasis or the splitting of the abdominal wall, and definitely reduces a lot of the pelvic instability and pelvic pain that we see in postpartum mamas.
Yeah. And I mean, and this just speaks right into a big theme, and this is about preparation and not waiting for the crisis moment.
We think we're proactive in this world, but really we're reactive. We do things after we got a problem. We don't do things to prevent it. Really, it would be better if we did. And this is, again, what MELT is all about, is why wait for a problem to get rid of it? If you can prevent it from happening, why not do that?
Absolutely. And I think too, though, I think many of us are we have so many problems and so many challenges in front of us that it's hard to think of, should I create a new problem for myself to even think about? And so, you know, kind of helping people, you know, switch that mindset of like, I really do need to focus on something that's not a problem currently, I think is a challenge.
Yes. Well, and yes, I mean, pregnancy is not a problem, right?
No. Of course. Right.
but it causes
the
those
pain.
Problems.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, during pregnancy, like, you know, I mean, you have to realize that all women will go through the same type of change, meaning that the belly is going to get big because something's growing in there. So knowing that that's going to happen, you know, everything from a healthy diet to sipping water frequently, to movement. We know that movement is so important in connective tissue, because what science is really starting to reveal is just daily living, whether you're pregnant or not, daily living causes cellular dehydration. And we've all experienced it. Like when you sit for long periods of time and you get up and you feel like you aged 20 years.
Yeah.
That is the what we call a pre-pain signal. You're actually feeling the effects of cellular dehydration. And you know, once you get up and you move around and it goes away, we kind of forget about it. But if you don't ever do anything about it, that dehydration accumulates, and it is what impacts most of us and causes most of the joint pain, most of the postural misalignments, and most of what I would call dis-ease in the body. And if you don't ever do anything about it, I think it's also a precursor to disease. So you know, I think that's something for us all to think about, pregnancy or not.
Absolutely. No, dehydration is important to counteract. This is what I carry with me all the time.
I've got my honey lemon and water right here.
It is. It's hard. And sometimes it's hard to get enough water. I mean, we all know kind of the formula for how much we're supposed to have, but actually getting it done.
Right. Well, and that's another thing, you know, for especially through pregnancy, the secret is actually not how much water you drink. Mm-hmm. It's the consistency of water. So just as an example, like if I had a glass of water, like 8 ounces of water, I would be better served sipping a little bit of this over the course of an hour rather than drinking the whole thing down and not drinking for an hour. Right. That's where we go wrong. And that's one of the precursors for cell dehydration, is that our consistency of water uptake is so lousy that that's what causes most of the disruptions that we have.
That is so key, because I mean, obviously I do have this with me throughout the day, but it's like sometimes I let myself get so thirsty that I end up chugging it.
And it is one of the very worst things that you can do, just overall, is not drinking it consistently enough. It's one of the biggest things people do wrong.
Oh, I'm so glad to know that, to help our listeners understand that too. So I want to dive a little bit into the actual MELT method. So in your pregnancy class, like what kinds of things would you have mamas do to help their connective tissue system be prepared for this massive growth that's going to be happening?
Right. So we do try to get people to start actually first with, it's the foundation of MELT, which is the mini hand and foot treatment technique. So we use these soft balls. I'll show you one. Super, super soft and squishy. And we treat the hands and feet through these compression techniques. This is like gliding the ball back and forth, a shearing, rinsing the back of my hands. Real easy, gentle movement, because connective tissue, again, being a global system, if you stimulate your hands and feet, it does a number of things. It'll draw fluids toward the neck and the face, which alleviates neck pain. The foot treatment improves balance and stabilization. It helps with pelvic floor control. So we usually just try to get them to start with just some real gentle compression. And, you know, women know when they're pregnant, I mean, you know, your feet start looking like Fred Flintstone feet.
My toes were sausages. It was terrible.
Exactly. The cankles, the big ankle looking things. All of these things are part of a fluid flow change that's happening, not just blood flow, but fascial flow. Fascia has a fluid flow very similar to our capillary system or the lymphatic system. There's movement in this. And so if you stimulate it, it keeps the fluid flow moving throughout the entire system. It helps with absorption. It helps with transportation. Rather than being like a lot of people where you get that stagnation, it's almost like sediment in a river. And that's what's causing a lot of that unnecessary swelling and stagnation, and that interstitial fluid is in the fascia. And so if you stimulate the fascia, it decreases some of that swelling. So we get them to start there. And then we often work with women with the rebalance sequence, which I know is interesting. You know, people during pregnancy, they're told never to lie on their back. But unbeknownst to most people, in fact, you can.
Yes, you can. I found myself on my back every morning.
That's right. And, you know, with the nice thing about lying on the roller, and again, our roller is a soft, it's soft, right? So it's got this super squish to it. And so, you know, you're lying on your spine on a roller, and actually where the vena cava is, where that blood flow is coming to the baby, never even gets touched because the lumbar spine never touches the roller. Mm-hmm. So we give people the rebalance sequence. It helps to quiet the stress reflex in the nervous system. It tends to reboot the body and gets that vitality back in them. And then for most women, we work a lot on the pelvis, on the legs, with some of the very gentle compression techniques. And also upper body hydrate. You know, as your belly is getting bigger, you know, it's almost like tech neck, like your head carriage kind of starts to get pulled. We call that the rectus drag. Yeah. As the abdomen is getting so tight, it's pulling the back of your head towards your belly button. And so learning how to do the upper body hydrate sequence and the neck release sequence, all very valuable to educate a woman through pregnancy to, again, reduce some of the negative effects of their center of gravity is changing. You know, you got a belly, your brain's like, where is the center of gravity? We want to keep the brain in connection with the center of gravity. And so all of these techniques are really more than anything for that. And we also add in some of the higher levels of the series that we do for pregnancy. A lot of hip instability happens through pregnancy. So we work on some of the side lying of all floor work, hip stabilization, because you want to keep your hips stable, but you want to reduce the tautness of the fascia. Most of the time women think that they're feeling tight, and so they start stretching. And I say, be careful when you're pregnant in stretching, because you have relaxin, which is some of the hormones in your body, to allow the tissue to open up, but that can actually cause damage if you stretch too much. After pregnancy, your joints are very loose. So you have to be very mindful about how much stretching you're doing, how much you stretch your belly, because your belly's already getting stretched out. So again, kind of a neurological reintegration and repatterning and re-education for clients to learn how to stabilize their hips without getting them tighter and lengthening their connective tissue without stretching the muscles at the tendinous structures where they're already so loose during pregnancy.
No, and that's so important too. And I think that people, whenever they feel pain, their first instinct is to stretch it. But so often the reason why your muscles are cramped or you're feeling that tightness is because it's already too loose.
That's right, so you're locked long.
You're too long, and so your muscles are tightening down to protect.
That's right.
And so you feel the protection that your muscles are giving that joint, but the reason they're doing it is because there's instability. And so if you stretch it, you're just making it worse.
Well, yes, and you're also, to further that, you're also taking the protective mechanisms and you're counteracting them.
Yeah.
And that actually causes more neurological stress, which then adds to the feeling that you're getting. And just how you're saying, sometimes we feel like we're tight. And I say, you're not tight, you're taut. right? The muscles aren't clamping together. They're being pulled so far apart that the fascia is trying so hard to hold the body's position. If you start stretching, you take that stability right out of your body. And now, again, you're right. You can create shear lesions in the SI joint, lumbar spine herniations, all sorts of things. So you do have to be mindful with that for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So then coming forward from, you know, now that mama's had baby and she's trying to get body back again,
yes.
You know, tell us kind of how you take those mamas through their sequence.
So the first thing I would say is don't rush yourself.
Don't we all want to do that?
I know, you know, but you've just gone through truly what is such a dynamic and long process. And, you know, a baby, you know, when they're first born, is also very stressful to the mom. And that stress oftentimes can be transmitted to the baby and they don't realize it, but sometimes they think that something's wrong with the baby or a baby has colic or a baby's not sleeping. And actually it's the mom's stress that's being transmitted to that baby. So we really very often we try to work with that emotional level to kind of settle into the flow, to you know, kind of create some sort of calm for them so that they're more empowered and they feel more in control. I think that, you know, you have a baby and it's like your entire life changes. Forget those 9 months. Now you got 19 years before they're out of the house. And at this point, 29 years, kids don't even leave the house until they're in their 30s. So good luck with that, friends.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a whole new thing. And, you know, there's fear that's there. There's unknown, you know, and I think there's so much demand on being a good mom and, you know, people have their, oh, you know, you should do this, you should do that. And it's a lot of extra stress and demand on women today having kids. And I think that really can disrupt their own energy flow, their own, you know, energetic to, again, the baby, to their lifestyle. So I think more than anything, the first step in postpartum is just to allow their body's time to settle back into something normal, to bring them into a cycle, and very similar to habits, we try to get them on a daily process of taking time for themselves, because when you're a new mom, you know, you're the last person on the totem pole. And it actually, you have to do something for yourself. And if that means right when your baby takes the nap that you get down on the floor and you melt for 10 minutes, is, you know, just that really gives back to the mom so that they're kind of ready for whatever the demand of that day is going to be. So that's really where we start a lot of them through postpartum, is just making sure that they take time out for themselves and that they give their bodies time to heal from that pregnancy. What, you know, they don't really think about it, but that's surgery, right?
Yes.
Having a baby is like having a surgery.
Had surgery to get the baby out too. So
exactly right. But even if you have a natural birth, that's still it's an event that's occurred.
Yeah, it's a trauma.
For sure. And so, you know, again, I think that we want the connection and the energetics of the mom and the baby to really be one. And, you know, I work with a lot of single moms just as much as I do, you know, moms and dads, and the dad's energy too, you know, they're nervous, they're worried. Am I going to be a good dad? Am I, you know, is my child going to say dad at first, is going to love me, you know, whatever. But all of those things we don't talk about. But it's staying connected. It's making sure that they have, you know, a good network around them, that they have community. And I think that that's one of the things that we offered when we did the series events, was just a place where they could all come together. They could kind of talk a little. They would meet each other. They were all kind of in the same position, in the same place of their process. And I think that that's a really healthy thing. Even what you're doing is giving that community sense of pregnancy to anyone, any mom. You know, I think that's important.
Yeah, it is. And I, it's funny. I, as much as I love the face-to-face, like actually being in the same room, I know a lot of mamas who just have a really hard time leaving the house. So being able to create that kind of of online, you know, you're in a community, here's your village, and you have a time to meet and chat and talk. I mean, there's so many great things about what technology is able to do to connect us. And I was just talking to another expert about, you know, longing for the days where all the kids were outside and all the neighbors knocked on each other's doors for help and all the, it's kind of gone. And, yeah. But we can bring it back. And, yes. And I think we are, I know you are. And again, yeah. Thank you for all of that. But it's just, it's so, so important for people to build that village and build that community before the crisis hits.
Yes, wouldn't it be nice? And that's, you know, we actually just last month we launched what is our Melt on Demand. It's our Melt app. And one of the comments that was given to us, and I'm ready to do it, is a part of it for Melt for Pregnancy, Melt, you know, postpartum, and to actually bring people through that process with us, but that's in that kind of an environment to see if that helps people, even without coming to a group class, without being able to come to see me, can I bring that process to them in their house? And I think that that's also what's needed is that, you know, when you're after having a baby, especially during postpartum, some of my clients will say, Sue, I can't get to your class. Like, I can't get out of the house. I'm housebound. And so we want to give that back to them by being able to do it in their home. And so that's, you know, even without those specific sequences for them, the rebalance sequence, the mini foot treatment, all of those are there and they can do it at home. And I think that that's an important message for anybody is that, you know, you don't have to be able to get to the gym or something. You can do things in your own home daily that are still good for you. And feeling like you're captive to your home is frustrating. I'm sure I would hate to feel that way. So knowing that you've got, again, a community or people that are out there, even through the internet, I think is a really powerful thing for moms today, because we don't have that, you know, knock on your neighbor's door kind of a world anymore. Mm-hmm. But in some ways we are the knock on the door and we are the neighbor.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it's, yeah. I think it's awesome that so many of us are doing this now and more people are looking for it, you know, cause yeah. I think there's a big call for it. I think we're realizing, like, you know, how independent we are, you know, but you know, and that's one of the big values of the United States. It's like your independence, and it's like, okay, yeah, but we were never meant to do it alone. And I kind of feel like independence has become alone. And
oh my God, they used to, you know, have babies with a village, you know?
Like, I know, it's how it's supposed to be. I know. How fun, you know, but even for the housebound mom, and I was too, and I was and can still consider myself an athlete. And that was the hardest thing for me, was being able to find time and to figure out the timing for me to leave the baby at home, make sure that I had pumped enough for them to eat when they wanted to eat, and that I could leave without them needing me. And it was so challenging. And that is the only thing that I felt trapped by, is because I felt like I really needed to go out. I needed to go to the gym. I needed to go do my workouts with my people, but I couldn't leave the baby alone. So having this here and not only doing it with yourself, but maybe even doing like a live class all together, yeah. You know, where it's like yeah. streamed and you can like see other people doing it, and or having a class where baby comes with you, and it may not be the, you know, the quietest class in the world, but you know, it's real, and it's what we do as women and moms and communities.
Well, and you know, you also touched upon another thing, which is just breastfeeding in general. What a demand. I mean, the amount of energy your body has to produce to even produce breast milk, and then the pumping. And, you know, I get women, you know, they're like, my neck and shoulders are killing me. I'm like, well, it's because you're like, you know, you're here all the time, you know, in these funny positions. And again, that's like one of the things that we do is like the hand treatment, the facelift, the neck release. All of those things are so important because, again, the demand on the body, I don't think that even, you know, we honor the amount of energy that it takes, the amount of calories it takes, is what I'm saying, to produce breast milk. And then, you know, again, the pumping and everything else is exhausting. Your neurotransmission is off, your serotonin, you know, the way that your gut is producing those neurotransmitters for your brain to function efficiently. isn't the same. And so I get women during pregnancy and postpartum, they're like, I can't do math anymore. I can't remember I talked to my friend and I went through, I couldn't remember her name. I think I might be senile. I think I'm getting Alzheimer's. I'm like, nope, you got baby brain. It's just baby brain.
It's a never really go away.
but that's it. It's a neurotransmission change. And the problem with most women is that during pregnancy and then, of course, after you have a baby, like my clients will say, I haven't slept a sound night's sleep for 14 years. You know, like my kids are now in high school and now I'm actually sleeping soundly, but it took that long. And I said, that's a problem because the thing is your stress and repair response, truly your repair is occurring most dominantly while you sleep. So if you're not sleeping a sound night, you're waking up the next morning with a little more of a backlog of stuck stress, and that can really build up and your neurotransmission gets off. And then again, you have that cloudy head. So that's again, one of the things that MELT helps with is in a waking state, can you actively partake in boosting the body's natural repair processes and the parasympathetic state in a waking state and not wait for sleep to do that? And actually just 10 minutes a day in these little pockets that you have, doing a little mini treatment and stimulating the fascia will quiet the stress reflex and boost your body's natural repair. And it's almost as good as taking like a 10-minute power nap. You know, it's those sort of things are important. So I think there's also this mindset after having a baby that, you know, you've got to get to the gym. But doing that is 2 hours of time and you don't got 2 hours anymore. There's no two right. hour,
there isn't.
I got my free time right now. It doesn't exist for most moms. I mean, unless I guess you're really rich and you've got 10 nannies and whatever. I don't know. But, no. You know, unless you've got the small village, you've got 10 to 20 minutes a day to do something for yourself. And really the good news is, it's really all it does take, whether you're pregnant or not, just committing to 10 to 20 minutes a day to yourself is actually a huge benefit to your overall well-being years later when your kids are off into college and they're living their lives as adults. You taking those proactive steps every single day is going to bring you into your aging process in a much more healthful, vibrant, you know, wonderful way, a happy way.
I know. Well, and there you go, right there, happy, right? Because again, one
happy
of the
mama, happy babies.
Here is, you know, having fun with all of this and, yeah. and the self-care part of it. I mean, you can't have fun unless you're taking care of yourself.
That's right.
And it's funny how we have to convince ourselves how important it is to do the something that just takes 20 minutes. Like there's so yeah. many hours that we are awake in a day and the idea that it's hard to find 20 minutes is
scary.
It's scary. It is really scary. I agree. Yeah. And I find it challenging too. I'm not saying, oh yes, I always find, you know, time to meditate. I always find time to do this. I have to convince myself, you know what, this is going to take me 10 minutes. I can sit down for 10 minutes. And I have to convince myself that I have that time sometimes. And so it's not easy to do, but once you start doing it and it becomes part of your regular routine.
That's right.
It's just the way that you function and you don't even think twice about it.
I mean, most of my new moms, even at the end of the day, when they finally put the baby down to sleep, they're, you know, now all you want to do is crash out. And I said, okay, but that's okay. But why not just get on the ground with the roller for 10 minutes, mm-hmm. do a little upper body hydrate, do a little rebalance sequence. I'm going to guarantee you're going to fall asleep faster. Yeah. You're going to sleep more soundly. You're going to boost your REM phases that you're going to grab before the baby wakes up again. And again, the same thing is like the foot treatment you can do anywhere. Like when I had a 1 hour phone call that I had and I, you know, put my headphones in and instead of sitting down while I'm listening to them, I melted my feet while I was doing that. And of course, that's not the best way to do self-care all the time.
Right. So double.
At least you're doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, I might as well stand up and do that rather than sitting down. That's why I do it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, getting into a quiet place and doing something just even 10 minutes a day as mm-hmm. a start is a huge benefit over the course of months and years, just starting with 10 minutes a day. I always say people melt once, they want to melt every day. And once you do it for 10 minutes and you feel immediate changes, which is really to me the cool thing about melt, is that the assessment and identifying where stuck stress is actually living in your body, treating it and feeling it dissipate is actually one of the most powerful things that you can do, and is one of the things that gets people to not only come back and repeat it, but to actually say, gee, I wonder if I felt that good doing it for 10 minutes, maybe I should do it for 20 minutes.
Right.
I didn't think about that, but I'm going to try that. And then they do, they start committing a little bit more time to themselves. And I just really believe that, again, pregnancy or not, if we commit to ourselves and we make ourselves important and we empower ourselves to care for ourselves and not wait for a problem to realize that the shoulda, coulda, woulda is way too late, we just never hit that roadblock. And again, I just think that when a mom is happy and feeling good, their baby is happy and feeling good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's just not for the young baby, but the child and the teenager and on up. So,
you know, and I always say to my friends, gosh, I don't have kids, but I think to myself, I don't know. I think I would too be a little scared to raise a kid in this modern age. There's so much incoming information to those kids. And, you know, you hear all these terrible things and I can see why they get so stressed out. But that's again, why if you exist in a community where people are desiring to help you and to empower you and to keep you in check, and that you always have that communication, I think that it makes it easier to manage your kids and to make sure that they're safe and to not worry so much and to know that they're always going to do the right things. And even when they don't, that you're going to love them anyway. And, you know, it's part of living, and living comes with roadblocks sometimes and detours. Yeah. And you know, again,
and those are just as important, and to be honored and to see as challenges for fun learning. You know, learning is messy, and hopefully we want our kids and hopefully we want for ourselves to be lifelong learners. And so, you know, I love learning. It's fun, but it's messy. You know, you don't start off being an expert in anything, right. You know? So
actually, you're like, for me, the more I learn, the more I realize.
The more I don't know. It's so crazy. I know. I hear you.
Every time I learn something, I'm like, God, how could I have gone through this many years without knowing that?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. But that's why this is so great. So Sue, we have come to the end. I'm so glad that you have joined us today.
Thank you.
And I know you alluded to it before, but can you tell us about the gift that you have for our
audience? Yes. So I'm going to give someone the hand and foot kit. It comes with 8 of the different types of treatment balls, which one is now rolling away on my floor. It does come with the instruction guides and everything on how to do it. And you know, again, they could then, you know, go to the Melt app and they can download the Melt app. If they go to YouTube, I've got a lot of videos there also so that they can actually watch some of the videos. And again, 2018, one of the Melt for What on my docket is Melt for Pregnancy and Melt for Postpartum. So, you know, they will hear more from me for sure on that.
Awesome. I love it. And we'll have that link for that down underneath our interview. So, thank you so much for being here, Sue.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And good luck to all of you guys throughout your pregnancy and postpartum time. And I'm sure it's going to be better for you if you do what we're telling you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Thank you. And you guys have an amazingly beautiful day. And we will see you again back here tomorrow. Okay. Bye, everyone.